Happy Sunday, everyone. So we usually have a thing, like if there's a question whether Living Word is open, our default is open, okay? So even during a bad snowstorm or something, we try to be here, okay? But if you have a question about it, you can check our website, living-word.net, and we'll put something on there if it's impossible to be here. But I'm happy to see you guys. You know, a lot of people use snow or use things as an excuse to not go to church. So I love seeing people who have no excuses. They're just hungry for God. Anyone here hungry for God? More of God? Yeah. Wow. That's cool. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Holy Spirit, we just love you so much. Jesus, you said it was better that you go away, because if you went, you would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here tonight. You are the teacher. You're the one who makes revelation in our hearts. So we open up our hearts to you tonight. In Jesus' name, have your way. And everyone said, amen and amen. So last week, so this is like part two. I want to talk about fasting in the Bible, and I want to bring out a little nugget tonight, a little different angle about fasting. And so last week, if you want to, you can go on our app or you can go on YouTube. If you weren't here, we talked very practically about fasting, what we're doing for the fast, how to fast, what we're believing for, things like that, because a lot of people hear about fasting, but they never hear how to fast or how to do it. So it was a little more practical last week. So if you're interested in that, go for it. For some of you look like new faces. We have been doing, I'm going to ask Pastor Ed, how many years have we been doing a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year? It seems like a long time.
Probably 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, it seems more than that. It's more like 17 or 18 or something like that. A long time. I know, I've suffered every year through these things, and they've scarred me, and they stay with me for a long time. So we've been doing 21-day fast for a long time. So we are in the midst of our 21-day fast. We like to give God the first of the year, and we like to seek him because as we talked about last week, God is a God of firsts, and when we give him our first, and we give him our best, he returns unto us his best. So it's a principle that we like to do, start off the year with prayer and fasting. And we're into starting our third week this week coming up. So it'll be the last week as far as that goes. So if you have jumped in on the fast, you can feel free to do so in this last week. Know that there's a lot of people with you doing that. And if you have been doing the fast, well, here we go, one more week to go. So for me, I'm wearing pants tonight that you actually tie in the middle here. I have a belt on my other pants. And me and Vinny, the camera guy here, like around August or so in the summertime, we started going on an eating plan that kind of helps you lose weight, right? So I was kind of trending in the wrong direction as far as weight goes. It just kept going up in the wrong direction. So I said, hey, let's do this thing. Let's eat right. And so, you know, we started to lose some weight. And when I did that, I had to put some new holes in my belt, okay? Anyone remember those days, like when you're a kid and you had to put a hole in your belt because your pants are falling down? So I had to put a hole, and then I had to put another hole. And I thought, wow, this is good. You know, we got to a place where I added two holes. So you guys, this week, I'm walking around the mall and my pants are falling down. I'm like, wow, this is because of the fast. I'm like, I got to add a new hole to my belt, you know, because we're losing our pants here. You might not think it's funny, but I'm going to keep myself entertained the whole time, and I'm going to laugh at everything I say. So we're in the third week of the fast, and, you know, for me personally, it's spiritual. A great fast, and if this keeps on acting funny, can we just switch it now? Because there's like these little cutout spots. Oh, really? Same thing? So this fast from the very beginning has been really good, and you know, when we press into God, what we do is we put down our flesh and we're able to hear in the spirit better. So that's one of the things. Our flesh is just a really noisy distraction in our spiritual life. And the Bible says that your flesh are just your desires and different things that your flesh craves, okay? So when you fast, you begin to put that down. You begin to tune in. This is the way that I like to think of it. God is always speaking to us, always, okay? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is trying to direct you. The Holy Spirit is trying to help you. He's the comforter and the helper. But sometimes our flesh, I call it the radio station of our flesh, is so loud that we just have everything else going on and we can't really hear the tuning into the Spirit. So when we go in a fast, we just turn that radio station off or we turn it down. And it's just almost automatically you're able to hear the things of the Spirit better. You're able to spiritually discern things better. You get more revelation out of the Word of God. Well, I do anyway. So it's just like, it's a good time. So spiritually, it's been great. But like what I said last week, usually when you get to the third week of a fast and you're really denying your flesh and one, is this gonna have reverb? Sounds good though. Sounds good. So usually when you get to the third week of the fast, right, you're doing funny things like you're starting to make food lists, okay? And what I mean by this is you drive by a restaurant, you drive by something you'd never cared about in your life, and you go, ooh, Vietnamese subs. I gotta definitely get that. And you start making this list of all the things that you're gonna eat after the fast. Vietnamese subs is on my list. So I started officially making a list. And then what you do is you break your fast and you go eat whatever you want and then you don't care about anything on your list. All this, you know, all these different things like crazy food and stuff like that. But I would suggest this, you guys, okay? And even if you're not fasting food, if you guys could fast, and if you haven't done it, throw it in. If you guys can fast media, okay, at least for the rest of this week, or if you haven't done that or if you're not fasting, just fast media. Turn off your TV. Turn off anything that entertains you, and instead replace it with the Word of God. Find some preachers you like, get the Word of God in you, and just take out all of that carnal stuff. I just felt impressed again to say that. There might be people who are just, you know, still trying to hear from God, but then you have all your favorite TV shows and the different things, and really it's very hard to get in the Spirit when you're just dosing yourself with things of media. So have a media fast as well. I think it really helps your fast all the way. And then if you can kind of, some of you have already done that, when you come off the fast, you need to have some momentum as you come out of the fast. It doesn't mean that you become gluttonous and sinful and whatever the second the fast is over. Try to take some of the good habits you had during your fast and continuing them past the fasting week. So if you cut down your media or your consumption or your TV shows or things like that, I've had people, now I'm not picking, okay, but I am, okay, so I've had people tell me that, oh my goodness, the Game of Thrones is just so awesome, I can't wait for the new season, I can't wait for this and that, and then they say, because they're Christian, ah, but you know what, there's some swearing in it, and gory violence and sex and like, what the heck? Like, do you have any discernment at all? Like, what is so great about that, right? So as Christians, sometimes we swallow a good plot or a good thing, and then we take in a lot more than we should, and then you begin to corrupt your spirit, and it's like, I wonder why I don't hear the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I wonder why you don't hear the Holy Spirit, okay, because we're doing those things. So come out of the fast. If you're not, you know, you turned off Game of Thrones or whatever it is. I don't even know if that's produced anymore. But if you come out of that and you're not watching it, like, stay off it. Stay off. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. So sometimes out of your fast, you get freed and loosed of things, and you don't need to go back into them again. You don't need to go back into bondage. When God sets you free, stay in that place, and you'll reap the benefits of that amazingly. Amen? All right, so Romans 1:11 says this, for I long to visit you so I can bring some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord, okay? And tonight we're going to, you know, We're going to pray at the end. We're going to invite you guys to pray it. But we want to impart some type of spiritual gift so that you guys come and that you leave this place, you know, filled with God's Spirit and filled with His goodness. Amen? Now, when I was a younger Christian, I really disliked fasting a lot. One, two. Vinny, are you the one messing up? No? If you guys are cool with it, I'm cool with it. We'll just keep switching mics. That's okay. You good? I'm good. So when I was a younger Christian, I really disliked fasting a lot, okay? To me, you know, it was said, and it's true, it helps you seek God, it helps you press into God and things like that. And, you know, to me, I was already really pressing into God. I was, you know, putting down the flesh and things like that. And I was like, well, do I need to add, like, no food, you know, to this? It's, like, not really fun. And I remember when God called me to be the new youth pastor of our church to lead our young people, I said, God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out into the woods. I'm going to set up a tent. It was like summertime, and I'm going to fast and seek you for 3 days. Just going to get away from everyone. Just going to seek you. I want to do this right. Do you guys remember Jesus? He was pushed by the Holy Spirit into the desert before he started his ministry, and he fasted for 40 days, okay? And then the Bible says he came out of there in the power of the Spirit. So I'm like, I'm going to do 3 days, okay? So I remember by the end of the first day of not eating, so I just had a jug of water and things like that. I remember by the first day of not eating, I was just like, oh my goodness, could you die of this? I was like so hungry, I don't think my body had never not eaten food ever, right? So it's just like, could you die of this? And it was good. It was a good time. And I remember by the second time getting weaker, the second day getting weaker. And by the third day, I was like looking at the bark in the trees, and I'm like deer eat bark off trees. Is this edible stuff? I'm like having things like, what could I eat out here? Just imagining it. Not that I would eat bark on a tree, but just to have those thoughts, you know? And it was, and spiritually it was a great time. It was a great time with God, but it was like, I didn't enjoy it. It was like gray skies and mourning. Okay? And so when you fast, you shut off the food. And so sometimes during your fast, it can seem like a very kind of mournful period because food is like a drug, okay? So Christians, whether you guys know this or not, Christians really, when they seek God, God the Holy Spirit usually challenges you to get your life straight, okay? Because he's called the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you're not going to be able to continue in sin. The Holy Spirit's going to just... He's just going to challenge you. And so as a new Christian, the Holy Spirit would challenge my language, my smoking, my habits, everything. Just one by one, the Holy Spirit would come. And I knew when he was talking to me about it, there would be grace there to overcome that. And he cleans up your life. So pretty soon, a Christian has no more vices, no more drugs, no more anything. And so their new drug is like food. All right, so hey, you guys want to go out? And then they eat something, they get an endorphin rush, like, woo, hey, that was good. And that's the only drugs they got, right? So some Christians like eat a lot and they like that feeling, and they kind of get addicted to food and you know, sometimes can get overweight at the same time, but food becomes their drug. So when you shut off the food, all of a sudden there's no more little joy bombs. It's like, just feels kind of like, you know, this is kind of dull and whatever, you know. My wife makes like this green shake, right? And she sweetened it with fruit, but in years past she'd said, no, there can't be anything sweet in it, and we got to add all this disgusting stuff. And then you drink it, it's like, oh gosh. And it was like disgusting, right? No endorphin rush, no fun. It's like torture, right? But it's good for you. But it's good for you. So when you're fasting, there's none of that like joy that comes from food, right? So it just seems very kind of dull and very gray, and so I wasn't a big fan of it. But over the years, I learned to love the benefits that come from fasting, that our temporary mourning of our flesh is such a life-giving time in the spirit and such kind of a reset in the spirit that's super powerful. So my wife is still making those green shakes, okay? So when she goes on a fast, she does like 2 shakes a day. And so I wake up this morning and I open the fridge, okay? First thing, even before I hit the bathroom, open the fridge, and one of her green shakes hits the ground and goes, boom, hits the ceiling, me and everything in the way. I felt like I was in the Exorcist scene. You remember Linda Blair was like, ah, it was disgusting. It was everywhere. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't even care. I'm going to throw a towel on it. It's still messy. It's like still has to be cleaned up. But we have church today. Oh, no. Any neat freaks in here? I'm freaking you out right now. I left the puke everywhere. We just walk over it. We'll pick it up later. We'll scrape it off with a paint scraper. It's like glue. So even though it's a very mournful town, we realize that, you know, seeking God with fasting is a biblical thing. It is something that God commanded, and it's something that we're to do. And Jesus didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. And Jesus himself showed us by example that when he went in the wilderness for 40 days, that he was someone who believed in fasting and what it was, and that we should follow in his footsteps as well. So I want to bring out a little nuance of fasting, because there's so many benefits to fasting. So I'm going to bring out a little different angle tonight about fasting, and we'll talk about it for a few minutes, and then we'll go ahead and move on from there. But over the last couple years, you guys, I've been kind of troubled over some of the things I've seen in the body of Christ, especially like with ministers. Okay, there's kind of been this. There's been this bad pattern of bad behavior with some ministers that I really like and I admire, and you know, I might not know all of them intimately, but you know, I've followed some of these guys, but they've really kind of fallen into sin, and it kind of seems like a running trend, which is kind of not a good thing. So I'm not going to name any names, because that's not, you know, I don't think that's the love of God, but I'll tell you about some of these examples. So there was a pastor in New York City, and he just blew up. He was with a major denomination, reaching a lot of young people, reaching a lot of celebrities, reaching all types of stuff, doing like great things for God, it seemed, on the outside. And then when COVID hit, he gets involved in a scandalous affair with another woman. And I think the only reason they caught him is this person was texting him and showing up on his phone during, you know, like a church hours or something like that. So just terrible stuff. There was an apologetics minister. Apologetics is like when you're really smart and people want to debate the Bible, and you come back in a very smart way and you begin to debate them line by line and things like that. And there was this very famous apologetic minister who died, and even the people in the White House were kind of like giving him tribute and mourning and saying how powerful he was. But it comes out later that multiple women come forward and talk about his sexual misconduct and some of the wicked things he was doing. And this should have like been a red flag. He was like the co-owner of multiple massage parlors. Really? That's how you make your extra money? And so a lot of bad stuff happened in those type of things, right? So it comes back after his death, like all of these terrible things that are happening in this type of way. Another pastor who probably has one of the largest churches in the world, well, in the United States, and been part of a move of God for years and years and years. I've read his books, just really a powerful man of God. Also had to step down over the last couple of years because of sexual allegations that not one, not two, not three, but multiple people coming forward. And he had to kind of go in disgrace another pastor, not super familiar with following him, but I've seen him in the blogosphere, you know, always on there, kind of popular. Got involved with an online, how do you say it? He had an online inappropriate relationship with a woman. And so it wasn't anything like physical, but whatever was being said online was not legit, right? So he has to step down from ministry. He has to leave his pulpit, okay? Then another pastor who was, you know, has one of the biggest churches in the world as far as reach around the world, huge in the music sphere, things like that. Again, more sexual allegations, and he had to step down from his thing. And I'm just like, what the heck is going on, right? Like, let me read a scripture to you, okay? Let me just find this. 1 John 2:16. It says here, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, when you fast, you are putting down these things in your life, okay? And I'm like, there are some ministries I know every single year. Jensen Franklin is one of them. And you don't have to know any of these names, but I know every year they're going to start with fasting and they're going to start with prayer, which means they're going to put down all of this stuff, okay, that gets people in trouble and gets them in scandals and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of looking now for ministries that will step forth in fasting and prayer, because I know that they're putting their flesh in check. I know that they're putting these things in check. So I went to one of these churches of one of these pastors that kind of was disgraced and fell. And we my wife and I, it was in New York City. It was a hip church. It was cool. There was tons of young people there, young adults. And you just love to see just a revival of young people. They lined up down the street to kind of go in there to the church. And it was awesome. Like, it's, you know, if you have to stand in line to go to church, that's pretty cool. Like, there's a lot of people hungry to get in there. And then we're in there, and it was a great service and great music and stuff. And this pastor was very gifted. But I was just like, you know, excuse me for getting judgy. I can get a little judgy sometimes. So he had a shirt, and the shirt was, like, really, like, open, like, down to here, right? And I was just like, you know, what's up with that, right? And so, like, you know, maybe the button flew open. I don't know. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's a great experience. And then, you know, as he's up there, like, his shirt is see-through. Like, I could see his nipples, like, through his thing. Sorry, kids, if you're here. I'm just like, is his shirt see-through? Like, this is like, I'm a guy and this is kind of sexy. What's going on here, right? This is like, you know, what's going on, right? So, yeah, anyone come up to me afterwards for a date? Mm-hmm, no. I'm going to get Justin on you, okay? So anyways, I'm just like, you know, like, whoa, this is like, it just, something just seemed off, right? And then, you know, they were pretty, you know, they were pretty muscular, right? And they had like no body fat, like zero body fat, just like, you know. And I know this, okay? Because I like to work out. I actually enjoy it, right? But to get to like zero body fat, you need to spend a lot of attention on your flesh to get there. That's a hard place to get to, right? So this person's like acting super sexy and, you know, whatever, zero body fat, whatever. And my thought was, they must spend a lot of time in the flesh, right? They must spend a lot of time because it's got to take some hours to keep that up, right? And so, but we're called to spend a lot of time in the spirit. We're called to spend a lot of time seeking God. The Bible says we're to shut our door, and in private, we're to seek the Lord. And then when we're out in public, he'll go ahead and lift us up publicly. So when, like, when the scandal happened and he was in an affair and all this type of stuff, I wasn't super surprised. Okay? I wasn't super surprised. Did I pray for him every night and things like that? No, I probably didn't. I probably just kind of like forgot about it and stuff like that. Am I the reason he probably fell? I probably am, you guys. No, I'm not. But so it's like we want to put our flesh down. We want to humble ourselves before the Lord. We want to take whatever we're doing and it's going kind of off track in the spirit, and we want to kind of get it back on track. And honestly, you guys, that's what fasting does. That's when we seek God and when we fast. That's what it does. One more thing about this person. I saw them, and again, I admired the work of God that they were doing. They were reaching a lot of people. So I'd always just say, well, you know what? Whatever, you know? I'd see pictures of him, his pants are down here, and just like, whatever. I just put it aside. God is using this person. And then I saw an interview. They released a book, right? And the initials of the book was OTM. And so they're in an interview, and they have their Bible, right? And they're talking with their Bible. And then they would hold up their Bible, and on the Bible with tape, they wrote OTM. So they were, like, promoting a book while they're talking about the things of God. And I was just like, I don't know, I'm having a little trouble with this. Like, so, you know, not promoting Jesus, promoting, like, your new book with the thing. So, again, I'm not trying to get super judgy, okay? But here's the thing. That's us, too, if you're not careful. That's us, too, okay? And God wants us to kind of reset. He wants us to be able to have a way that when we're going off track, for us to stop, reset, and pull everything back. And sometimes people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to stop. They know they're in trouble. They're kind of going in the wrong direction, and they don't know how to stop it and reset it. But that's why I think prayer and fasting really is important. It gives you a time to stop and reset and get things back straight, get things back in your priorities, and get them in order as far as that goes. So the curse to many people is success. And the Bible says that God has promised you to be the head and not to be the tail, to be above only and not to beneath, to be blessed going out and blessed coming in, to be blessed in the city, to be blessed in the store. If you really believe God's word, then you're going to have to believe the fact that he wants to bless you. And he's going to make you successful, and he's going to make you stand out amongst many people. He's going to promote you. He's going to do things. He's going to bring you places you could not do yourself. And as a result of that, you'll begin to taste success, and you'll begin to taste what it's like to have the fruits of God's goodness in your life. But humans are weird. So sometimes people get intoxicated with that. They begin to get a little cocky. They begin to get a little prideful. They begin to get a little arrogant. Sometimes they think it was a little bit them, right? And they forget the God who brought them there and brought them into these blessings. And God says this, because he knew it. He knew what we were all about. Deuteronomy 8 says this, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. God was bringing the children of Israel from a place of slavery into the promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey. They literally inhabited buildings and fields and things that they did not build, and they were able to come into this land. And God said, once I fill your belly and you have no more needs and I've taken care of you, beware that you don't forget about me. Because sometimes when people are needy, they're like, oh, God, I need help, right? But then when God fills you to overflow, you're not saying that prayer anymore. Oh, God, I need help. But he still wants you to cry out to him as if you had need. He wants to be your everything in your heart. But sometimes God moves out of your heart and stuff moves in, okay? Here's the thing. If you want to show God that he's number one in your heart and nothing else has your heart, you need to be a person who's willing, if the Holy Spirit tells you, to give away anything that's precious and dear to you. Okay? So you might have let me give you an example. So many years ago I saved up many years for a like a multi-track recorder thing. It was like, this is a long time ago, and it was pretty big, and it could record multi-tracks and stuff like that. I sacrificed, I scraped, I saved up all my money, and then I bought it. And I was super happy I had it. And then I felt the Holy Spirit told me to give it to someone. Give that away, okay? You see, for you to show God that stuff doesn't have you and that he has your heart, you need to be able to give anything away, and you need to do it with joy. So I remember the Holy Spirit shows me, I want you to give that piece of equipment away, and I want you to give it to this person. And in my head, I'm like, would they even like benefit from this thing? I know they're a musician, but like, because to me it was like, I spent a long time to get this, and now that I have it, I feel the Holy Spirit saying, give it away. And so the Holy Spirit said this: you tell them that once you give it to them, it's yours. You do whatever you want with it. I'm not going to have any say. That's not me. Whatever you want to do. And that's what I said here. I believe the Holy Spirit said you could have this. You know, feel free to use it. I don't even care. If you want to sell it, go ahead and sell it. I didn't mean that. I'd be like, and you know the first thing he did? He sold it and got the money. Woo, good going, right? But the Holy Spirit said, don't you worry about that. It has nothing to do with you, because once you give it away, it's no longer yours. It's theirs, and they could do whatever they want with it. But I think I showed God that stuff doesn't have my heart, that you have my heart. And I'm willing that nothing on this earth is willing to own our hearts or to take the place of our hearts, or people are able to take the place of our hearts. And we need to have that heart and say, God, if you want me to give, you want me to be a bigger giver. Like I said this morning, most of you guys who aren't here, my wife and I have this thing that on our fasting list we have. We want this to be the biggest year of our giving ever. And we just want to give at another level, okay, into the things of God. We want to give money. We want to give into the things of God. But we also want to see increase in our life like never before. We want to see God increase us as well. But we know that if you're not willing to give like never before, you're not going to see the increase like never before. Because the Bible says, what you sow, you shall reap. So we want to be challenged in those areas where God stretches us, and you give sacrificially and you give those things, amen? And then God knows that he has your heart. That stuff doesn't have your heart, but he has your heart. And humans are funny, and we let things take over our hearts. We let things crowd our hearts. We let people crowd our hearts. And God wants to be the one that has our heart in everything. That's why when he brought the children of Israel, he said, be careful. Once you're all full, you're going to forget about me. Don't do that. And eventually, do you know what they did, you guys? They forgot about him. Forgot about him. And then they start to live like the heathen, and the people that they displaced from the land, they begin to do these wicked things, and they begin not to follow after the heart of God. Listen, same thing today. We can act like, oh, we would never do that. But you know what? Enough binge-watching Game of Thrones, you might be doing some dumb stuff too. You can. If you get super carnal, you make bad decisions, you make bad thoughts, you desire bad things, you get caught up, you become oppressed in your mind, Satan comes, moves in with you, starts to suggest stuff in your ear, you start to listen to him, not the Holy Spirit, you spin out of control, okay? It can happen to any of us. It can happen to me, right? Am I different than any of these other pastors that ended up in trouble? No. Are you any different than them? No. Do we want to judge them for what they did? No. Do we want to learn from them? Yep, we do. 100%. So it can, like, let me give you an example. So you don't have to be in ministry. Like, say you're a person, you're married, you have a wife, you get a new job, you get a promotion, all of a sudden you're going from, you're making $35,000 a year, and now you're making $150,000 a year. Woo, you're feeling good. You're starting to buy stuff. Your wife doesn't feel like she's, you know, like she just feels like she go to the store, buy whatever she wants, buy the things she always wanted. You begin to get caught in that lifestyle, and pretty soon you start drifting away from God. People do that all the time. So the blessing can actually become the curse in their life, and we just need to be able to have blessing and to thank God and bless him with that and not let the blessing take over our heart. Amen? You can totally do it. It's just sometimes we get off track. And one of the ways that we can get back on track is through fasting and prayer. 100%. 100%. And so I call it like a spiritual reset. I look forward to this time of year because it's literally a spiritual reset. And let me read you some scriptures. Let's read some scriptures here. Isaiah 35:3 says this, "Is such the fast that I choose?" Do I have the wrong one? You can turn that off. So I'll read it to you. Maybe you can look for it. Is in ESV, "Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself?" Isaiah 58:3. Try Isaiah 58:3. Does that look like it? Yeah? Okay, so there you go, behind me. "Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to" what, you guys? "Humble yourself." Okay? "Is this a fast that I choose, a day to humble yourself? It is to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him. Will you call a fast a day acceptable unto the Lord?" So the Bible is saying to call a fast, okay, and to bow yourself down in humbleness before God, that when you're fasting, and then the Bible says to not that we literally do this, but you do this in your heart. But in the Old Testament, they would put on sackcloth and ashes. Do you know what sackcloth is? It's like a potato bag, right? It's just like this nothing. It's just like, clothes of poverty. But when people mourned and people were in distress, they would put on sackcloth. They'd rip their clothing. They'd lay in the ashes and mourn, okay? So it's kind of like a position of mourning where you get before God. Forgive me, I'm gonna go down. You just lay before God and you humble yourself in like sackcloth and ashes, and all of the I and I did this and whatever, we need to, in those moments, we need to exchange it and say, "Father, as we fast, this is a new year, and God, whatever I thought I did and whatever I thought I accomplished and whatever I pat myself on the back with or I bragged about, God, I just put that down and I humble myself before you, because you're God, you're the one who gives good gifts. You're the one who's done all this for me. And God, I do not want to forget the one who has brought me to this place, who's brought me out of a life of sin, who has delivered me from the pits of hell and has brought me to this very day, God. It is because of your blessing." And what you do is you begin to put your heart in a place of humbleness before God. And that, honestly, you guys, if we live this way, and if ministers live this way, we wouldn't have all of this scandal and stuff happening in the church. We would humble our hearts before God, and we would let him know that he's the one, he's the right one. Another scripture. This one is in Jonah 3:5. So God, in the book of Jonah, this is, if you know from your Bible stories of a kid, Jonah is the one who is swallowed by a whale. Okay, and the reason why he was swallowed by a whale is God told him to prophesy to Nineveh, the city, that they were going to be destroyed because of the great sin in the city. So he was like the prophet to tell them, "You're going to be destroyed," and he ran away from having to do that message, and eventually he was swallowed by a fish and then vomited up on shore at Nineveh. So God got him there one way or another. And so he declares this message to Nineveh, and look how they react. Jonah 3:5, hopefully I have the right thing. It says, "And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called for a" what, you guys? "A fast." "They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and removed his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat in ashes." Now, guys, this is not Israel. This is not the Hebrews. These are not people with a covenant. This is Nineveh, a godless country that probably worshipped idols and had nothing to do with Jehovah God. And they humbled themselves in sackcloth and ashes. "And he issued a proclamation and published throughout Nineveh, 'By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything.'" Meaning, everyone's going on a fast. Even your animals, no food, Okay? Let them not feed, drink, or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out to mighty God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? May God turn and relent and turn from his first fierce anger so that we may not perish. And you know what the result of that was, you guys? As we read here, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did it not. When we go on a fast at the beginning of every year, again, it's not like super fun, right? We're not having the food, we're not having the endorphin, woo, you know, like eating dessert and all that. It's just kind of mournful, but it's a good state to be in that we get this spiritual reset and we say, God, we humble ourselves before you. This is, fasting is not just a time of just let's get closer to God. It's a time where we humble ourselves as a man, as a woman, that we say, God, you're the one. You're the one that has made everything good happen in my life. And Father, if something is out of whack, if I have drifted, if I'm now so fleshly that I don't care about the things of God, God, bring me back. Bring me back as you lay in sackcloth and ashes. And I mean that in your heart, okay? You don't have to put on sackcloth. You don't have to put on ashes or things like that. If you feel you have to, that's good, but you don't have to. This is something, this is the New Testament. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. This needs to happen in your heart. And a lot of us have strayed. We've strayed out of that place where we should be. And God wants to pull that back, pull it back and do, like I said, it's like a reset. Ezra chapter 8, chapter 8 says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before God, to seek him for a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and our goods." Fast, humble, sackcloth, repentance. This is just a different angle on fasting, okay? There's a lot of different wonderful angles on fasting and the great things that it produces. But I think this is also a time that we should take advantage of getting a spiritual reset and really putting God back where he began. Now, Daniel, you guys, some of you have heard about the Daniel fast, okay? I want to read about that real quick, Daniel and his fast. It says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks." I like how he describes it as mourning. Mourning. So he's seeking God, and we see the Daniel fast in here, but he describes it as mourning before God. "And I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for a full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed with linen and a belt of fine gold from Ahaz around his waist." So he has an angelic vision as a result of this. But what Daniel did, we call it the Daniel fast. He ate no pleasant bread. He had nothing touch him. He didn't anoint himself, but he just mourned and seeked God during that time of fasting. And God brought an angel to him to reveal the message that he was seeking. And the angel said this, "From the very first day you prayed, Daniel, I was sent on your behalf." And as we pray and as we seek God and we humble ourselves, we get in a reset and we begin to pray about the things of the year, we begin to pray about God's purpose and will in our lives, the angels of God begin to move on our behalf. They begin to say, okay, this person's serious about God. This is someone who is seeking my face, not just in like this 2023 pop Christian culture type of thing, but someone who really Bible knows me and has rent their heart before me, and that has got my attention, and I'm going to send my angels on their behalf to do what needs to be done in their lives. How many people want more angelic movement on your behalf in the spirit? I do. So fasting is like a spiritual reset. It's when we humble and we abase ourselves before God. It's when we put down the flesh and put it away. It's when we realize all the good things that have been given to us from God were not, they're not us. They were given to us. So how can you brag on what's been given to you? You can just be thankful. And then we begin to get thankful again before God. And then we begin to tighten up all these loose areas that have got out of control in our lives, and we begin to bring them back unto the Father. And yeah, this is where I'm just going to wrap it up here, you guys. So listen, don't miss a great opportunity to mourn before the Lord. And I know that sounds funny, but do not miss this opportunity at the beginning of the year where you can get a spiritual reset, where you can ask God to kind of fix what's broken. A lot of us, our kids are going astray, our family's a little out of whack. This is a great time to get before God and say, God, what's going on in my family? God, what's going on? Please come and visit me to make a commitment before God, to get our hearts right before him. Some of us run in the wrong direction, and we never turn, and we don't know how to turn. But I think fasting and prayer is a good time to turn as far as that goes. What I want to do tonight is I want to invite you guys up here. We're going to go ahead and worship God. The band's going to come back up, and we're going to worship. But what I want to do tonight is make an altar before God tonight. Okay? You don't have to be in sexual sin. You don't have to have perverseness of your heart. You don't have to be, you know, off the rails, okay? All you need to do is have a heart that says, God, I want you first in every part of my life. And I want to start off in January 2023 to make that declaration, God, that I want you first. And let's come and just stand before God up here. And let's go ahead and just begin to honor him and worship him and just cry out with our hearts before him. Amen? And just let's just meet God here tonight. Is that okay? Yes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you guys to come. Yeah, I invite you guys. Come on up. And if you've never done that before, get out of your seat and just responded to an altar call. Please do. Just come up and let's worship together. And let's seek God's face. Let's not let a good fast go to waste. Amen? Let's go ahead and just take this time to just seek his face and get the very best and the most from this that we can in Jesus' name.